Okay, everybody. Look, there's some tough truths we need to talk about. Mike Johnson, he's been a big letdown. We go right into it here. There is a motion to vacate brewing. This is a super episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. We combine our commentary with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Chip Roy. Listen to the whole thing through. Text this episode to your friends and listen very carefully. Become a member to listen advertiser free. That is members.charliekirk.com. members.charliekirk.com to listen advertiser free. Email me as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA to start a high school or a college chapter at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. And listen to this whole episode. We say a lot of this with lament and sadness. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of The Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. We got a serious problem, everybody. The majority of the country wants an opposition party. You want an opposition party. You want somebody to go to Washington, D.C. and to say no, to have a win, any win whatsoever. The vast majority of Americans believe that the southern border is a far greater crisis than anything happening abroad. Poll after poll after poll shows that Americans prioritize this country more than what's happening in Ukraine. However, you don't have an opposition party in Washington, D.C. You have some members that are trying their best. You have some people that are fighting very hard on it. Now, for those of you that are devout and loyal listeners and viewers of The Charlie Kirk Show, you know, back in fall, we were one of the few voices that was very critical of Speaker Johnson because he completely surrendered on all spending fights. We should have shut down the government. We should have used the leverage we had when we had more seats. And he did none of those things. And he kicked to January, February. And he reached out, and the team reached out. I said, you know what? I'm going to give you another chance. We're just going to kind of chalk that up to beginner's naivete, that you're now in this job and you're now going to fight. Remember, we were told that we were going to get a big spending discussion in January, that we were going to get a real throwdown in February, that we were going to draw a line in the sand and that we are going to fight against the $1 trillion that we are borrowing every 100 days. And so I gave Speaker Johnson a little bit of rope, a little bit of room. I said, okay, you're talking a good game. You're saying that you are a movement conservative. We decided to give him a little bit of space. In fact, I was speaking at a Salem radio event a week and a half ago with Grant Stitchfield, who's terrific. It was a KRLA, KTIE event. And somebody asked about Speaker Johnson. I said, you know, I temporarily have a ceasefire when it comes to Speaker Johnson. I'm trying to give him some space, I'm trying to give him some room to operate. And I said, I think he is a conservative. And then last week started. And it has not just been one thing. It is now a pattern. And it is getting worse. It is not getting better. He's embracing fear, not courage. So, of course, the one that really stuck me, that I refuse to forget, is that he was the deciding vote, the tiebreaker, to give the FBI the ability to obliterate the United States Constitution, to be able to spy on you, monitor your activity, potentially infiltrate political groups. Mike Johnson, wearing his FBI windbreaker, goes down and cast the tie-breaking vote. The way I viewed that is a guy that is a constitutional attorney who used to argue major cases just gives the middle finger to all of you, basically saying, I'm a regime guy now. Inexcusable. His team reached out to us, said, oh, no, no, we're not the tiebreaker. We voted early. What a ridiculous response. It doesn't matter when you voted. You did not have to vote, and you voted incorrectly. You voted on the side of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. But that was just the beginning. FISA passes the House with no adjustments. Yeah, there were some little things here or there, but it was garbage. It was shallow. So then all of a sudden this weekend pops up and we decide now we have to go give Zelensky more money so more Ukrainian young men can be led to the slaughter, the meat grinder against Russia. Tucker Carlson said this publicly and he has said this privately. Does Speaker Johnson know how many Ukrainians have died in this war? No, he doesn't. He has no idea. He has no idea. Nor does he care. The American government are using young Ukrainian men as human shields. Now, time and time again, Speaker Johnson has said that there will be no Ukraine deal without border security, that there will be no Ukraine deal without border security, that there'll be no Ukraine deal without border security. He said this repeatedly. In fact, we have a montage of that we can upload where Speaker Johnson has said, the border is the first priority. We have received zero victories on the border. So Speaker Johnson said throughout his speakership when I was trying to give him some space after I was very intense with him out of the gate, no, 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 just don't worry. We're going to secure the border. Well, this week, turns out that was not the truth. Turns out he was deceiving us. Ukraine is positioned to get another $61 billion. Israel, $26 billion. Now, I support the Israel funding, to be clear. But you have to offset it with cuts. Cut the UN budget, give the money to Ukraine. But $26 billion is a lot of money, just to be clear. $8 billion more for Indo-Pacific security. So nearly $100 billion as we are borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. And do you know who now is the chairman of the Mike Johnson fan club? The chairman of the Mike Johnson fan committee. No, 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 it's not Mark Levin. It is Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. It's Mike Johnson's biggest fan. Play cut 91.
This is like a movie for me. I went to sleep last night and we were living in the age of Trump. And I woke up this morning and now we're in the age of Reagan again. Listen to this. Peace through strength. Huh.
That sounds good.
And you know, a couple days ago, I kind of got heated up about how Republicans hate on America so much. Mm-hmm. I was talking about how horrible America is. And I said, America is the greatest country in the world. Yeah. They need to start saying it. Well, the speaker said, we're the greatest nation in the world. Good on him. Like, we don't hear this from Republicans. We certainly don't hear that we have to actually fund people who are fighting against Russian aggression much these days, except from, again, those responsible leaders, whether you're talking about chairman of the Intel Committee or the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, people who are actually talking like grown-ups. But I've got to say, give credit where credit is due, and credit is definitely due with Speaker Johnson talking like a Reagan Republican, talking about the need to protect freedom in this fight that between Western democracy and what's going on in Russia.
Joe Scarborough, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer. What do those three people have in common? What do Joe Scarborough, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden have in common? They're Mike Johnson's biggest fans. They are Mike Johnson's biggest fans. This is a man who claims to be a Christian conservative. I'm not saying he's not a Christian. I'm not getting into that. He's not acting like one, but I'm not saying that. He's acting out of fear. He has not decided an attitude of courage. What is Mike Johnson so afraid of? Why does Ukraine need that money so badly, Mike Johnson? Why have you been unable to deliver a single victory? Now, do I regret giving you space or giving you room? Actually, no. I think it gives more credibility to my criticism that I'm now going to usher uninterrupted for the next couple hours. Because I really tried to work with you. In fact, you had me almost convinced that you were going to fight for a minute. Now, maybe I was naive and maybe I was swindled, but I wanted to believe in you. I wanted to believe that we finally had a conservative that would draw the line and deliver a single victory. And in politics, I guess I just live to be disappointed. Today, we're diving into a topic that's more relevant than ever, online integrity. We live in a digital age where technology has become an integral part of our daily lives. From smartphones to laptops, the internet offers incredible opportunities for connection and growth. But with these opportunities also come risks that can compromise our values, integrity, and faith. Pornography is almost everywhere. And I can tell you, Covenant Eyes works. I use it, and you should too. In fact, I use Covenant Eyes before they ever wanted to partner with us on this podcast, which is why I'm so thrilled to share with you this special offer today. Look, it's a powerful tool. It's changing the game when it comes to helping men and women steer clear of porn and providing online accountability. If you're watching porn, stop watching porn. There's no excuse for it. Stop justifying it. Stop trying to rationalize it. Covenant Eyes isn't just another software. It's a shield for your digital life, helping you navigate the internet with confidence and in God-honoring ways. It's been helpful to me in my life, and I want you to find the same peace of mind and freedom. So what exactly does Covenant Eyes do? Well, it offers a range of features designed to protect you and your loved ones from harmful online content. From customizable filters to real-time monitoring, what sets Covenant Eyes apart is its emphasis on accountability. With Covenant Eyes, you can partner with trusted family and friends to receive regular reports of your internet activity, creating a culture of transparency and support. Whether you're a parent looking to protect your kids or an individual committed to living with integrity and porn-free, Covenant Eyes is the solution you've been searching for. It's not just software. It's a commitment to upholding your values and honoring your faith in every area of your life. So if you're ready to take the next step in safeguarding your digital life, I encourage you to check out our friends at Covenant Eyes today. That is covenanteyes.com/Charlie. Again, that is covenanteyes.com/Charlie. For your free 30 days, do it today. covenanteyes.com/Charlie. It could save your online activity from the poison of pornography. covenanteyes.com/Charlie. I have a heaviness on this whole topic because, you know, you go really hard out of the gate because I knew what was happening in November and December. In November and December, I've been through this so many times. That's the time to throw it down, to shut down the government. That's the time to cut the spending. And we were not listened to or counseled. We were told by the experts, as Speaker Johnson, we're just going to kick to January. We're just going to kick to January. We're going to figure it out. And so we came really hard out of the gate. And I said, okay, new year, maybe I'm just going to offer some grace. And Speaker Johnson texted me once and I didn't answer. And then he texted me again in late January. And I just prayed about it. I said, all right, let's have a conversation. We had a long conversation. You guys know that. You listen to the podcast and all that. And I said, Speaker, I'm going to give you some breathing room. You have a slim majority. You're saying that you're a rock-ribbed conservative. You say that you love the Constitution. Your colleagues speak very favorably about you. So I'm going to give you some space. I'm going to give you some breathing room. And like all of us, I decided to want him to succeed. I was, please be the hero that we need. Please have the conviction and put on the full armor of God and stand up against these satanic globalists. And I wasn't an apologist, but I was rooting for him day in and day out. And I think a lot of us were. I think you guys were too. And we were told on every occasion, the border matters more than Ukraine. You're not going to get Ukraine without the border. Love the Constitution, slim majority. We were told all these things. And for the last couple of weeks, during this kind of period of breathing room that I gave him, I was rooting for a fellow Christian brother. I wanted him to be the best Speaker of the House of a generation. He had all of the workings to do that. Former ADF lawyer, was a conservative member of the House. And something happened. Matt Gaetz now says he does not recognize this person. He has completely metamorphosized into something different. He's acting and speaking like John Boehner, like Paul Ryan, like Denny Hassert. Mike Johnson told us that we would not get Ukraine without border security. Well, we're getting Ukraine without border security this week. This is only a sliver of the footage that we have. The team had to cut it down. This is a minute-long tape that we made 35 seconds. He is not telling the truth. Play cut 95.
Telling all of you, and we've told the American people, border, border, border.
We have to affect real policy change at the border, and that is a necessary condition to anything we do going forward.
We have to take care of our border first. That's what the American people demands.
Every state in America is now a border state.
Border, border, border.
How can we be engaged in securing the border of foreign countries if we can't secure our own? Past time to secure the border.
Listen, this is a catastrophe down here.
The battle is for the border.
President Biden wants a supplemental spending bill. It better begin by defending America's national security.
That's just a taste. And he has told us that you do not get Ukraine money without border money. What if Mike Johnson actually was courageous? The path to courage is to say, I know I'm unlikely to make it, so I should be bold and aggressive to try and shake things up. In the current situation, I'm weak, but I can change things up enough. I might force my way into a position where I'm stronger and my enemies are weaker. Think about what the great military generals of the past would do, like Napoleon or Alexander the Great. If you read about their careers, you'll find that when they're vulnerable, they become more aggressive. So what did Mike Johnson do? Well, you know, he cowered. He collapsed. He is not a man of courage. And based on what he said about the border, if this Ukraine money passes without the border money, it pains me to say this, but he is not a man of integrity. He's not a man of integrity if that's the case. He gave us clear private and public proclamations. And in fact, the exact opposite happened. He came out with four bills, Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, TikTok, lend and lease, Ukraine loan. And then only after feedback from members did he offer up a fifth bill on the border and was told some semblance of HR 2, which he knows is not going to pass. I don't say any of this in celebration. I lament how Speaker Johnson has screwed this up. Most emergencies come without warning. And when the next one comes, you won't have a second to spare on packing and preparing. You need to get ready now before an emergency strikes. Your supplies should be within reach, ready to grab and to go at a moment's notice. Secure those supplies at MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with a four-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Helping millions of American families prepare since 2008, My Patriot Supply are the experts in all things self-reliance. Their four-week emergency food kit offers 2,000 calories every day, protected by heavy-duty four-layer packaging. These kits last up to 25 years in storage. These delicious foods are sealed inside rugged buckets with handles designed to grab in a hurry. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get as many food kits as your family needs for $50 off each. They ship fast and free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. So there is border security money. There is border security money, but it's not what you might think it is. I had our team just pull up the law. Again, there's so much misinformation out there, so much nonsense out there. So I said, hey, Blake, can you just go find the actual bill that is almost inevitably to become law? Let me read it to you. No spin, no BS. This is what Mike Johnson is about to pass. A border security package. For an additional amount, quote, international narcotics control and law enforcement, $300 million to remain available until September 30, 2025 for assistance for Ukraine and countries impacted by the situation in Ukraine, provided that such funds may be available to support the State Border Guard Service of Ukraine. That's right. We do have so I stand corrected. There is border money available in this bill. The border money is to go help the border patrol in Ukraine to stop drug smuggling. But stopping drug smuggling in America? Nope. The original legislation that the End the Border Catastrophe Act is based on HR 2 was immediately ignored by the Senate after the House passed it last May. That's the fifth bill. It's nothing. That's just going to be thrown into the distance. So Mike Johnson was not totally incorrect when he said that border security is important. He just didn't say what country's border security. He just didn't specify which nation was going to have a secure border. This is how much House Republican leaders disrespect you. They think they can distract you with a useless vote. So let me just be very clear. There are five things coming up for a vote. Five things. And I want to break them all down in specifics. Number one, Ukraine. We should spend $0 on Ukraine, and we should demand peace and an end to the meat grinder. But they're going to send $60 billion. And within that is $300 million to secure the border of Ukraine. Number two, Israel. I think the amount of money we're sending Israel is a lot, $26 billion. It should be offset with cuts. And I don't know if that amount of money is necessary, but I think we have to stand with Israel. I remain consistent on that. And understand that part of it, also the money that goes to like Gaza and Hamas. And so I'm not totally sure if it's all Israel. That needs to be better debated. Number three, Taiwan. We spent a lot of money on Taiwan recently. Where does that money go? $8 billion? I'm not going to put up a big fight on that. I would vote against it if I was in Congress. That one doesn't bother me as much as Ukraine. Seems wasteful. Seems like a graft. I bet someone's making a ton of money off of that. But that's not the end of the world. Then there is this TikTok. They need to get the TikTok bill through because that's super important, right? Not securing the southern border or balancing our budget. Now, this is how repulsive House Republicans are. Mike Gallagher is thinking of extending of when he is going to retire just to be able to vote for the TikTok bill. He might extend his retirement date just so that he could vote for the TikTok bill. And then finally, there is a quote-unquote United States border security bill that has already been dead on arrival in the United States Senate, and it is what is called a show vote. They do this on legislation they know will never pass. For example, the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. That's what's called a show vote. They knew Chuck Schumer was going to bring it up for a vote and table it. They knew that it was a show vote. It is red meat to the conservative base, you, without any substantive changes to policy. It's a show vote. It feels good on cable television. They get the nice Chiron House votes to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, and everyone celebrates. And then you say, what good did that actually do? Is he going to be at least, at the very least, put into a trial? I know that conviction's not going to happen. No. Now, if they were serious, border security for America would be in the Ukraine bill. Mike Johnson, you listening? If you are serious, this is, again, Mike Johnson, he is not equipped for the job. Mike Johnson reminds me of kind of the dorky kid that was bullied his entire life, super smart, got good grades, and he's finally like able to be liked by the bullies. Like he finally got, and Blake is really offended by this. Blake, you know the type. And he finally now is able to like kind of be into the cool clique. I've said this for a while and people make fun of me. You can learn more about human psychology in the movie Mean Girls than I think people realize. That is a profoundly, not the new one, the old one. That is a profoundly deep psychological film of the fact of how cliques work, of how incentives work. Anyway, I'm not here to give a speech on Mean Girls, but that's a separate issue. But Mike Johnson was outside of the clique. He was teased. He was bullied. And finally, he was able to come into the cool kids club. Obviously insecure. Obviously bullied a lot in his life. And finally, he gets to be in the briefing room with Joe Biden. He gets to be around a bunch of generals. He gets to be in the situation room. For a once bullied, nerdy lawyer from Louisiana, those trappings of power, he's just in awe. He's an important person. Mike Johnson got mentally dominated by the United States security state. Oh no, we need to stop Putin. The Balkans are going to fall. Yeah, they're on their way to Lisbon, Mike Johnson. Oh no, we don't let the FBI spy on everybody without a warrant, we'll have another 9/11. If Mike Johnson was serious, you see, this is how negotiation works. I'm 30 years old. We run a big business here. We have 600 people. We've done plenty of negotiations. I'm by no means an expert, but let me give you some free advice, Mike Johnson. You say you have no leverage. Wrong. You're the Speaker of the House. You have plenty of leverage. So what does the regime want the most? Everybody in life has a hierarchy. The thing the regime wants the most is Ukraine money. That's number one. It's not Taiwan money. The Israel thing is not controversial. So therefore, you find the thing they want the most, and then you find, then you tie that to the thing the country needs the most, and you tie them together. So I don't think that Ukraine should receive a dollar, but I would be okay with Ukraine receiving money if it came with, I don't know, $10 billion to the southern border, to Border Patrol for deportations and enforcement for additional barriers. All of a sudden now you're using leverage, because then they would have to choose, or for actual real substantive change in the law. You see, if Mike Johnson was a serious negotiator, he would sit down with Chuck Schumer and say, look, you want Ukraine money. The only way you're getting it is real deportations, real blocks on asylum. And I'm willing to make this case to the American people. You'll get your Ukraine money if we tie it with these three asks. One, extra money for Border Patrol. Two, actual deportations. Three, real blocks on asylum claims. And if you don't do that, Chuck Schumer, then we're going to have to bring this to the American people. And I'm willing to go down to this, because, you know, the whole appealing story of Mike Johnson is he didn't ask for this. That Mike Johnson didn't ask to become speaker, that he kind of just fell into it, that he doesn't have all this ambitious political career. But I want to really explore this. What happened to him? Because if you ask anybody, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Burchette, oh, Mike Johnson is a faithful Christian, that he's a really terrific guy, and that he is like far from a man of integrity now. We were told that he was one of us. What happened? He got swallowed and captured by the administrative state. They wore him down, and they saw him, and they said, oh, this will take like 6 weeks, and we will break him. We will break him. And in some ways, you should fault him, because he has deceived us and has engaged in outright treachery. But it's a tough job. Very few people have the capacity to stand up to the United States security state or the intel agencies. Very few people. Mike Johnson told us repeatedly, no Ukraine money without border security. And we've gotten the exact opposite. And you have to just wonder. I don't think it's blackmail. I know some people say, oh, it's blackmail. It's blackmail. I mean, it might be, obviously. Tim Burchette told us that happens all the time. I think it's actually the nerdy kid that was bullied that broke. And he said, you know, I can be with the conservatives, or I could be a hero and invited to all the cool parties and be liked by the regime and all the trappings of power. And the border's just an afterthought. America is just an afterthought to these people. And they're so convinced that the most important thing is sustaining this rule-based international order, this garbage, this rubbish about invade the world, invite the world. It doesn't matter that if we're in debt and we have $1 trillion that we're borrowing every 100 days and the border's wide open and the country's collapsing. They need to just keep on throwing capital at Zelensky. Doesn't matter that they can't man an army or it's a meat grinder or that they're losing an entire generation of young Ukrainian men. None of that matters. They can't even tell you how many young Ukrainians have died. They literally cannot tell you. I wonder if every member of Congress can actually find Ukraine on a map. You know, that would be a really fun video. We should send a reporter just to stand outside of the House with a map. And I bet most lawmakers would get it right. But even if you get one or two of them and they can't find Ukraine on a map, that would be viral resignation type stuff. I would bet 10 to 20% can't find Ukraine on a map, without a doubt. What happened to Mike Johnson? He wanted to be liked. He was tired of being bullied, and he surrendered. He capitulated. That is not what a Christian does. That is not what a man of faith does. I gave him a shot. I was cheering for him. I'm saddened and heavy over this, but not shocked.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a group of people that are still trying to understand, how did this happen so quickly? You understand that the representative form of government the founders designed is not truly who runs the country. The administrative state does. The generals, the CIA, the Department of Justice, and they got to him. Now, if there's a replacement, there's no choice but to vacate. You got to figure it out. But we are now flirting with something very dangerous, where our base believes that there is no reason to ever give Republicans power in D.C. again. That is a very dangerous trajectory to be on. And it's hard for me to disagree. What am I supposed to say? Brag about all the money we're sending to Ukraine? Brag about all the money that we're borrowing? Brag about how we lied about the border? Brag about how we gave the FBI unilateral unconstitutional spying powers? Bragged about how your big accomplishment is a show vote that goes to the Senate and Schumer tables it within 5 minutes? Brag that you guys expelled Santos? It doesn't have to be this way. And one day we are going to fix it. And that is why I'm sympathetic. And I'm not, again, it has to be done strategically right. I'm not a parliamentarian. I don't want to blow something up irresponsibly. However, there's no choice but to vacate once there's a plan. Because if you betray the Constitution and just lie to your voters and lie to your conference, Speaker Johnson very well might be going to change a rule with Democrat support, according to Jim Banks and Thomas Massey. He might go to Democrats to bail out his speakership. That is not a Republican speaker. Say what you will about Kevin McCarthy. Democrats didn't bail out his speakership. And I will say this, I actually think Kevin was better than Mike Johnson in this regard. And I know this audience is no fan of Kevin McCarthy, but hear me out 1 second here. Kevin McCarthy never pretended to be a movement Christian conservative. He never did. He was very clear. I'm here to kind of govern the status quo. I hear you guys as conservatives. I am a conservative, but I'm not one of these movement types. Mike Johnson played the opposite card. He goes and talks about how he has a biblical worldview in like one of his first interviews. Open a Bible, that's exactly what my worldview will be. So this one hurts more. And you're held to a higher standard as soon as you invoke the labels that we cherish the most, which is Christian conservative. Kevin McCarthy would never describe himself in that way. Instead, he's just kind of like, look, I'm a guy that wants to be speaker really bad, and I worked really hard for it, and I don't have like that deeply held beliefs on these things. And so I held him to a lower standard in that way. But what this now does to future Christians that run for office is it makes all Christians look bad in politics. It makes Christians look like chumps, look like liars, look deceptive, look treacherous. So Mike Johnson made the decision to invoke the holy, to say that I'm a Christian, I read the Bible. Mike McCall says that Mike Johnson got on his knees and prayed for wisdom for about this. I don't know what voice you're hearing, Mike Johnson, but it's not the Holy Spirit telling you to go kill more Ukrainian men and lie about it. And you could have been a Joshua. You could have been strong and courageous, as it says in Joshua 1:9. You could have been a David. You could have been a Samson. You could have been an Elijah. You could have been a John the Baptist, seeing forward and calling out the error into a time where it's necessary. You could have been an Apostle Paul. You could have been a real leader. Instead, you're kind of like Ahab. You're controlled. Ahab was controlled by the spirit of Jezebel. I'm not saying that's what's controlling you. But you're the one that's in need of rebuke, not the one that's rebuking. And let's just play this out in the last 20 seconds. You could have held the line, shut down the government, and they could have just run you over, but you would have went down guns a-blazing as a hero for this republic. You could have been an example that the people have a representative, and you would have been remembered for generations as the speaker who held the line for the country. And instead, you've done the opposite. You've made a mockery and a disgrace to the speaker's office, and you should resign. Chip Roy, who's a great American, he's on the front lines here to walk us through it. Chip, welcome to the program. Just so, Chip, I mean, you're an insider here. I'm fine. My country is not. So am I, Chip? I did a whole hour talking about how Mike Johnson has deceived us, lied to us, is now working with Democrats to get things passed. Chip, take some time, lay out the case, because it has been an egregious week in Washington, D.C., brought to you by Speaker Johnson. Chip Roy, walk us through it.
Yeah, Charlie. I mean, look, and I'm very disappointed, and I always reserve judgment on a very personal basis. The people that I work with, and have had a long time history working with Mike, I'm going to let the people decide. Let me just walk through the facts, okay? If you go back to when he became Speaker, which was basically October 25th or 6th, from that time all the way until very recently, the Speaker has been very clear. Let me quote, November 2nd, 2023. We have obligations. We have things we can and should do around the world, but we have to take care of our own house first. And as long as the border is wide open, we're opening ourselves up for great threat. November 5th, said on Fox News, again, we can do all these things together, but when you couple Ukraine and the border, that makes sense to people because they say we're going to protect Ukraine's border and we have to do what is necessary there. We don't want Putin to prevail, but we have to take care of our own border first. November 27th, he said, quote, what we said is that if there's an additional assistance to Ukraine, which most members of Congress believe is important, that's a debate, but it's a split. We have to also work on changing our own border policy. December 5th, he said something similar. And this is really important, okay, Charlie? I think this is really important. When he talks about the extent to which we needed clarity, he said, second, I explained Congress and the American people must be provided with answers to our repeated questions concerning the administration's strategy to prevail in Ukraine. Clearly defined and obtainable objectives, transparency and accountability. With regard to the U.S. border, the need to regain operational control has never been more urgent, and the American people deserve immediate action. Last point I will make, and there's dozens more examples. He went to the border in January, and he said, quote, I told the president what I have been saying for many months, and that is that we must have change of the border, substantive policy change. He said, if President Biden wants a supplemental spending bill focused on national security, it better begin with defending America's national security. We have now had a complete flip-flop on that stated position. We have built everything we've been doing towards that goal, that objective. I just stated in the Rules Committee, in front of all of the witnesses and on camera, I want to support Israel. I very much want to support Israel. I would vote on a rule right now to support Israel. I want to have a good conversation about what we can do with Ukraine, with legal aid, with a clear mission. But I don't want to do any of it until we've secured the border of the United States. We've had 24,300 Chinese nationals come into the United States since October 1 that we know of. That does not include gotaways. That is more than all of 23 fiscal year. That is more than the 381. That was all in fiscal year 21, in the last year that we had President Trump's policies. This is an abject failure. It's a capitulation. We should not do it. That's why some of us are fighting to take down the rule. But unfortunately, we believe the Speaker is poised to do what has not been done in many, many decades, and that is to move the rule through committee with Democrat votes through committee.
And Chip, I just, what is the thought process here? What is the mentality? Why is this colleague of yours, who's the Speaker, who everyone speaks very highly of, and said he was this, you know, really good guy and fought the and held the line, why is he all of a sudden acting no differently than John Boehner and Paul Ryan? Can you help me understand that?
Well, I mean, again, I do think when you go back and look at certain votes, there were some tells, you know, and he was on the House Armed Services Committee. You know, for example, he voted to fund, you know, the military with the draft our daughters provision in it. There were things like that that I think were problematic. With a sort of tilt towards, and I'm not even trying to be pejorative. I think there's a tilt towards the kind of national security worldview. And it is the national security worldview, which, by the way, I grew up under the 80s, under Reagan, right? I very much strongly support an actual peace through strength effort. But what we have here is a default to what the defense world is telling you you must do. And then a fear of then standing up and fighting for the thing you know that people sent us here to do. There is a place to go with this, but the Speaker doesn't want to go there because it requires looking at the president and saying, Mr. President, I agree with you that we need to do something on Ukraine. And I think a good number of our conference believe that. But you're not going to get a dollar okay, unless we secure the border of the United States, period. You're not going to. And if you don't understand that, then we'll see you in November. And if you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to let that awkward silence hang over and stare him in the eye, then you're never going to win the thing you said you were going to go fight for. And then the uniparty and the swamp win. That's what's happening right now. Some of us are trying to thwart that. I don't think we can in the end, but we're going to throw everything we have at it.
So, Chip, I know I'm putting you on the spot with some of this stuff, and I know you have to work alongside all these individuals. Help me understand FISA. You were great on FISA. Thomas Massie was great. We almost had an amendment requirement to FISA, which would have been a massive win, Chip. And yet the Speaker of the House decided to side with the FBI. Can you just kind of walk us through all the drama that led into the FISA vote and the complete surrender of what could have been a monumental victory to restore the Fourth Amendment?
Yeah, I mean, let me just say in the positive, because we always run the risk of making our base cynical and make all the people that are listening to this program say, why do we even bother? And I understand that. I share those concerns. I mean, I'm away from my family up here, beating my head against the wall every day, trying to shift the Titanic from the iceberg. And in that case, the positive, we actually got a vote on FISA, Fourth Amendment protection and a warrant requirement. That took massive lifting, which is shocking. It should tell you about the nature of this town. But we were able to get it. And obviously it fell 212-212. But it took a colossal battle by myself, Jim Jordan, Warren Davidson, Thomas Massie, others that fought for it to get it. And we got it. And as you noted, there were every Republican who voted for it, which was about, 86 or 7, I think. They own it. And one of those individuals was the Speaker. I believe that this is a similar decision point. I believe the Speaker is making a decision out of fear. I believe he is also allowing the excuse of, hey, you guys, you conservatives, you won't give me a rule to move a bill that I believe we need to move. My answer to the Speaker on that is, I told him 2 days ago, the House Freedom Caucus would support a rule to put Israel only on the floor, so we could have a full-throated debate on Israel only and send it to the Senate with an amendment on a pay for whether it would pass or fail. Send it to the Senate. Then you could have a full-throated debate on Ukraine with border. Let's have it out. Let's see what we can get done. See what happens on a rule on that. And let's force it all. Put amendments down. And if some of our conservatives kill the rule, then they own it. I mean, that's one of the reasons I opposed the motion to vacate last September on Kevin. Was that Kevin had been working with us to get this stuff done. And we put a bill on the floor, which was a continuing resolution with HR 2 attached. And we wanted to move that forward. You know what? Some conservatives killed it. My answer to that is, great. You all own that then, right? You made the decision not to move it. I don't even remember what your position was on that at the time, Charlie, but all I care about is we're trying to move this forward with a process where we can actually have a voice and not end up doing what they always do, which is what the uniparty wants, which is to do what the defense world wants and do exactly what Joe Biden is now applauding and Chuck Schumer is applauding, which is move another big spending foreign funding bill.
And just the FISA thing was just so egregious because, again, I want to be very clear for the record. I gave Mike Johnson some space the last couple months and I was rooting for him. I wanted to be his biggest fan. I want to see him triumph. And he had this opportunity. He comes down, a guy that's a constitutional lawyer. And he says, I think the founding fathers were wrong. I know you got to run, Chip. I'm sorry. I forgot on timing. Chip, keep fighting. You're doing a wonderful job. The people of Texas are blessed to have you in the trenches. I want everyone to know, for those of you guys in Texas Hill Country, you got a good one in Chip Roy. He's working his tail off for the betterment of the country. Chip, thanks so much.
God bless, Charlie. Take care.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time to me to own a home? I sat down, I went through the numbers, I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me, 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now, AndrewandTodd.com. How on earth can you remain speaker as a Republican and give $300 million to Ukraine for their border and zero for our own border? Zero. It's just, I could tell you why. It's because there's no accountability. And if you're going to betray your base repeatedly, by the way, the audience is right with us. The audience is with us. You guys have zero tolerance for this. It is an insult to all of our combined intelligence when people are defending Mike Johnson. Now, Mike Johnson has lied to me. Personally, he told me on the phone, Charlie, we will not do Ukraine unless we secure the border. He's not even trying to do that. He's not even attempting, not even a little bit of an inch of an attempt. This jury selection thing with Trump, I have to talk about this. This is too good. We have to dive into it. Let's play this piece of tape here. This is Cut 83. A prospective Trump juror admits she has concerns about being fair and balanced. Play Cut 83.
Yesterday, the court received a call from juror number two after sleeping on it overnight. She apparently has concerns about being fair and balanced, and they're bringing her now in to be questioned.
There's another tape here where they actually bring her out and they talk about exactly why that they are concerned that she's not fair and balanced. This is Cut 87 from MSNBC. Play Cut 87.
And she said, in part, that she got calls just yesterday alone from, quote, friends, colleagues, and family, quote, questioning my identity as a juror. She continued, I don't believe I can be fair and unbiased and let the outside influences not affect me in the courtroom. This hits at the heart of the difficulty for these jurors over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Donald Trump is in a show trial in New York, and still some people are struggling to grapple with exactly what is occurring. Donald Trump is effectively on house arrest right now. He's basically on house arrest. This is a way to completely disrupt the political campaign season, and the Democrats are loving it. There's another Trump juror, by the way, that was previously arrested for ripping down right-leaning political ads and now has been dismissed from trial. This is going to go down to a core issue. How can you find an unbiased juror? How can you? In the city of New York. We now live in new zip code justice, where the type of trial you're going to get, the type of decision you are going to get, is wholly dependent on where the trial is held. The entire case is the jury selection. This is worth repeating. Play Cut 76 here.
They had things on their social media posts that Donald Trump and his lawyers found troubling. And one of the videos happened to be the juror number one had taken a video at a distance of what looked like a celebration in the streets of New York for when Trump lost in 2020. I think that was it. Mm-hmm. And it showed that she was biased and there was some language that suggested that she might have a bias. But the judge there was some back and forth between the lawyers, and then the judge actually admonished the former president because he was huffing and puffing and gesturing towards the juror. The judge said it was completely inappropriate, and he said, I won't tolerate it. I won't have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom.
George Conway's at MSNBC. Trump doesn't have the ability to control himself in the courtroom. They just want him in a corner. They want him to snap. And this is only going to make our movement stronger if we allow ourselves to use this as fuel to the fire. And I understand these are the long days that wear us down. We have a Speaker of the House who cares more about Ukraine than America. We have our nominee, literally locked in a courtroom for 4 days a week. We have our entire political movement. We got Peter Navarro in federal prison. We got James O'Keefe. His apartment is raided. These are the days that try men's souls. And I feel a sense of fatigue. But the American people are still with us. Somehow we're still up in the polls. Our belief system and our worldview is still the majority in this country. It's going to take grittiness, toughness, the likes of which we have not had to dig that deep in a long time. And I understand if you're a Sunshine Summer Patriot. I understand. But we need every single one of you to continue to fight. Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, a probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. Joining us now is Marjorie Taylor Greene. MTG. All right, MTG, I need you to walk us through all of this here. You have a vacate petition. Are you going to submit that today? Are we going to vacate the chair today?
Well, there's no more opportunity today on the House floor to be recognized to call up a motion to vacate, Charlie. And we have to be very careful with what's proceeding forward. But there's a timeline that possibly has been increased, Charlie. And that is because Speaker Johnson is looking, and what we're being told, to change the rules to the motion to vacate within the rule that is being passed through the Rules Committee right now. I know that sounds so confusing for your viewers, and it is confusing, believe me. That's probably why Congress is so messed up. But the Rules Committee is weighing the foreign aid, foreign war package that has the $60 billion for Ukraine right now. We're introducing amendments and arguing our amendments on the rules for that bill. But we have been told that Speaker Johnson is looking to change the rules on the motion to vacate and put it in that rule. That'll come to the floor for a vote, and Congress could pass it, and the Democrats could help make that happen. This would be the first time in history where Democrats would be saving a Republican speaker. That would prove right there, Charlie, that Speaker Johnson
Hold on. I got to interrupt you, MTG. All of a sudden, Speaker Johnson's being tough and cunning. He's now like a master of the rules. Like, he's willing to leverage and negotiate. I thought he's just this kind of nerdy dude in the corner that just gets run over. Go ahead, Mike Gallagher. You could resign. Go ahead, Ukraine. But now when it comes for his speakership, he's willing to cut a deal with the Democrats, and he's willing to lie. Is he a liar, Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Well, it certainly appears so, because his words don't match his actions, Charlie. And when people's words don't match their actions, then they are indeed proving themselves to be a liar. He told us over and over again he would never give any money to Ukraine until he secured the southern border and forced the Democrats to take action to secure the border. And that indeed has turned out to be a lie. He's trying to put through a rule on a border security bill that is basically just a washed out version of H.R. 2, the bill we've already passed. Speaker Johnson should be forcing the Democrats to pass H.R. 2 before we send any type of a funding package for any other country. And I'm flat out against it in the first place, Charlie. I don't think our economy and American businesses should be built on blood money and murder in foreign wars. And I'm really sick of that model of business from Washington, D.C., and so are the American people.
Here's my recommendation. You need a replacement. I think you guys should have a temporary Newt Gingrich as speaker. I'm not kidding. I think that Newt Gingrich should be a temporary speaker until the end of the year. He's not actually a member of it. You need an alternative. Are you guys talking about alternatives here? And look, I know that it could be chaos. Potentially Hakeem Jeffries could become speaker. Nobody wants that. But let me just be very clear. You cannot, as Speaker of the House, come and be the deciding vote against the U.S. Constitution with the Fourth Amendment and come out unscathed. I will not put up with that. That was the crossing of the Rubicon. And for the record, Marjorie, I was cheering for this guy. I gave him room to operate. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. I was cheering for him. I was rooting for him. I wanted him to succeed. I thought he'd be a big let's just say, an upgrade. And I am horrified and infuriated because, and we have this tape here that we're downloading here and we're getting it, of all the different times he said that we're not going to do Ukraine without the border, then you have the FISA stuff, and now he's willing to go work with Democrats. That has not happened in 60 years. And MTG, I'll be honest, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was like, I don't know if we should, you know, vacate and all this. Now, that you, if we don't vacate, we're basically saying the Fourth Amendment doesn't matter. Our own country does not matter. Your reaction, MTG?
I completely agree with you, Charlie. Listen, none of us want to go through another vacating the speaker. We do not want to have to go through a speaker fight and votes. It was painful. It was difficult. And it truly hurt our conference. However, Charlie, think about it. You're at college campuses all over the country as you're talking to college students. And these kids are under assault. And it's because Republican leaders never stand up and stop the radical Democrat agenda. They just talk a big game on TV when they're on the television or in their 5-minute committee hearings or on the campaign trail. But when it comes to actually taking the action to stop the horrible things that the Democrats are doing and the DEI and the woke agenda and the abortion funding up until the day of birth, they don't actually do it. And Mike Johnson has never taken the steps to hold the Democrats accountable. As a matter of fact, he's helping pass their agenda. That's why I wrote that 5-page Dear Colleague letter just a couple of weeks ago, explaining to everyone here, this is why Mike Johnson cannot be our speaker. And then he followed up a week later, just like you said, crossing the Rubicon, passing FISA, but betraying everyone with his vote being the final vote against the warrant requirement, which was so outrageous. But this week, Charlie, here's the real kick in the teeth for Americans. Monday was April 15th, tax day. And as hardworking Americans are going to pay their taxes and had to pay it on Monday and scrounge up the Monday or file the money or file an extension to give time to find more money to pay their taxes, Mike Johnson is leading the effort for the Pentagon, the sake of the Pentagon, to fund the war in the Ukraine that people are absolutely sick and tired of. And I fully agree with you. And I promise everyone watching, I will be as responsible with this as possible.
Yeah, you got to be responsible.
But we can no longer
look.
We can no longer allow this.
Yeah, you can't allow it to happen. You're dealing with a nuclear weapon here. You know that. And you have to be very responsible. You got to find a replacement. You got to measure twice and vacate once. But you cannot allow this to go without recourse. And everyone be the judge. You know, some people are now defending Mike Johnson. They're going and doing videos. Oh, Mike Johnson is an honorable person. I wanted to believe that. I gave him so much rope. I want everyone to listen to this one-minute summary. One-minute summary. Play cut 100.
Telling all of you, and we've told the American people, border, border, border.
We have to effect real policy change at the border, and that is a necessary condition to anything we do going forward.
We have to take care of our border first. That's what the American people demands.
Every state in America is now a border state.
Border, border, border.
How can we be engaged in securing the border of foreign countries if we can't secure our own?
We know the urgency in Ukraine. We're going to stand for freedom and make sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't march through Europe.
It's past time to secure the border.
Listen, this is a catastrophe down here.
The battle is for the border.
President Biden wants a supplemental spending bill. It better begin by defending America's national security.
Okay, these are dangerous people who are coming into the country. Over 300 known terrorists.
How can we be engaged in securing the border of foreign countries if we can't secure our own?
MTG, what happened to this guy?
I don't know. I don't know where he is. Nobody knows anymore. I mean, the types of conversations people are having about what happened to Mike Johnson, it's absolutely outrageous. Here's the real truth. He's going to claim that he has tried to defend the border. He's going to talk about the articles of impeachment we walked over to the Senate. By the way, those were my articles of impeachment that we walked over to the Senate. Mike Johnson blew it. He should have demanded Chuck Schumer hold a trial in the Senate before there was going to be any type of foreign aid package sent over to the Senate. He caved on that. He could have forced Chuck Schumer in the Senate to have a vote on H.R. 2 and demand that the White House sign H.R. 2, our strong border security bill, into law before we send any foreign aid package over to the Senate and the White House. He caved on that. When it came to the power of the purse, he completely passed Joe Biden's administration's budget in full and even gave a gift to the FBI, a brand new $200 billion FBI building, the same FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago. He funded the Department of Justice that has 91 federal indictments against President Trump, and he funded Joe Biden's wide open border policies. That's right there proves him to be the biggest liar, Charlie. He funded the open border policies, funded the invasion of America, did nothing to secure the border. And then now he's ramming through $60 billion for Ukraine. I mean, this is perhaps one of the worst betrayals in American history, for one speaker to his own party and to his own voters. And we've watched it happen in less than 7 months. So this cannot be tolerated. I know people are afraid with our razor thin majority. I know people are worried about that. And I promise you, we are not going to hand over the gavel to Hakeem Jeffries. The only way that happens is if Republicans leave. If they leave, they will be responsible for that. And if Republicans were to vote for Hakeem Jeffries, then they would be responsible for that. Not me, for trying to hold our party and our leadership accountable. And the question is, we can't just keep kicking the can down the road, Charlie. We can't say, oh, next Congress, or when Trump comes into office, because there's no guarantee of the future. There is no guarantee of winning an election until we actually win it. So we have to fight the fight right now, because honestly, Charlie, we are losing our country. And there's not going to be a next time, perhaps. There may not be another chance in the future. It's time to hold the Republican Party accountable and force it to be the party that the voters all want it to be. And that's what they vote for.
Oh, by the way, we're going to play new tape of another cheerleader for Mike Johnson. Nancy Pelosi went on CNN and was complimenting Mike Johnson. So we have Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Joe Scarborough. They're all big Mike Johnson fans. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene continues with us. All right, I want to play this piece of tape here that we have. Do we have that other one? Which one is Nancy Pelosi here? Oh, let's play Cut 99, the new chair of the Mike Johnson fan club. Play Cut 99.
Do you give him any credit for coming forward now and saying this is a matter of historical importance?
Well, it is. I think it's courageous of him to say, because you have to understand that in his own caucus, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee and the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, two leaders respected on both sides of the aisle, have said that Russian propaganda has infiltrated the Republican side of the aisle. So he has to deal with that. And for him to say that the democracy in Ukraine is an issue that we must support is a bold statement.
She said courageous again before the clip cuts off. So MTG, Mike Johnson has a big fan of Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, that left me pretty much speechless there, Charlie. You know, when you have Nancy Pelosi complimenting the Republican Speaker of the House, you know we're in serious trouble. That means that's someone they like, they want to keep, and they want to continue working with. I'd like to talk about that so-called Russian propaganda there. Now, of course, we're not supporting Russia, nor we're not supporting Putin. We're not supporting any of that stuff. But here's the reality. Before the war started, our own American media used to talk all the time about Nazis in Ukraine. And now they want to claim that that is not true. And while they claim they're defending democracy in Ukraine, Ukraine has canceled their elections. They lock up members of the press. They're oppressive, and they stop any type of Christian religion unless it's approved by the government. So this is not a democracy in Ukraine. And the Nazi story is very real. Time magazine did major pieces on it and videos on it. NBC, many networks reported on this situation. So the propaganda happens in our American media. Definitely, maybe not so much like they're claiming. The Democrat Party is the party of propaganda. They're the party of Russian collusion, hoax, and lies. Spent tens of millions of dollars of the American people's hard-earned tax dollars on committees and lies with the January 6th committee. Talk about propaganda. January 6th is one of the biggest propaganda items that the American media and the Democrats sell every day. But when you have Nancy Pelosi defending Mike Johnson, I think everyone's really upset and concerned over that.
MTG, thank you for your guidance here. You know that you're dealing with some very sophisticated weaponry, some very heavy stuff. And we wish you the best as you try to navigate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Charlie.
Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to hear from you guys, though, as we wrap up this hour. Is it time to vacate the chair with Mike Johnson? What are your opinions on Mike Johnson after all of this that we've covered? What is your stance and your opinion? Here's a Democrat member of the House of Representatives. I believe it is a Democrat. Yep, Representative Adam Smith. He says, quote, Mike Johnson has shown he's someone we can work with. So you have member of the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Joe Scarborough. They all love Mike Johnson. Biden, Schumer, Nancy. Do Republicans describe Speaker Mike Johnson as someone that they can work with? Who's actually in control? We know who's in control. It's not Mike Johnson. Hasn't been for quite some time. Let's play cut 101.
All I ask is for someone that we can work with. And Mike Johnson, he's kept the government open. He allowed us to pass the appropriations bill, so that process would go through a normal process. And now he's allowed us to have a vote on this incredibly important supplemental. And I think that, you know, it shows that he can't, is someone we can work with, all right, in a respectable way. So, yes, I am prepared to not vacate the chair.
That means that if we vacate the chair, Democrats are going to bail out Mike Johnson. He's already a coalition speaker. Remember when we said if you get rid of Kevin McCarthy, you might get a coalition speaker? We got one. We actually did end up getting a coalition government. They just call it a Republican. No FISA reforms. Nothing on the border. Ukraine, a bunch of money. No spending cuts. No shutdowns. DOJ, by the way, you know the FBI gets new headquarters thanks to Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson gave the FBI a brand new, big, spanking headquarters. And Democrats say we can work with him. I will agree with Speaker Johnson on one thing. He is a wartime speaker. He's just at war with the base. He's at war with us. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.